answers for the lawyers. Call the House Committee on State and Federal Affairs to order, July 13th, 2005. I know this will be hard to believe, but Senate Bill 899 will be carried over. There's another amendment coming for the last time, or it's going to die. Hope everybody understands that. And open a work session on Senate Bill 591, excuse me. And Senator Provansky, we would love to have a good explanation of what we're doing and what was wrong and what you intended compared to what the staff memory said.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Representative McPherson and I had a discussion, and his interpretation as to what he and I were talking about didn't seem to be reflected in the summary that had been prepared. So after we discussed, drew out two or three multiple charts with all the different options of how this is supposed to be, the bottom line is this. What we're attempting to do is make certain that it is understood that the bicycle lane or a parking or stop lane that's next to a lane of travel would be considered part of that adjacent lane of travel, making it just one lane. The city of Eugene had brought some concerns earlier that in their reading of it, that someone may interpret the proposed bill to say that the bike lane was actually an extension of the sidewalk, which is not the case. In other words, if you were in the bike lane, you were still on the sidewalk. What was intended, and what I think Representative McPherson and I had our discussion here before this committee, was that that area would actually be considered part of the travel lane. So the dash two amendments that you have has reworked that part of the language to basically say that the bike lane or the part of the roadway where vehicle stop stands are parts is that is adjacent to the lane of travel is considered part of that adjacent lane of travel. So in other words, again, you will include for the purposes of this statute for the pedestrian crosswalk a bicycle lane or a stop or parking lane to be an extension of the lane of travel that it's adjacent to. So basically you would have one long or larger lane of travel. The reason for that is that when someone steps off into the bike lane, at least one court has interpreted that to be a separate distinct lane from the lane of travel, and it puts people that are in the crosswalks at jeopardy sooner, and this other way will keep them safer by having it as one lane instead of separate lanes across. That's the purpose.
Question?
I can't imagine.
Representative Barker.
On the drawing there, you may approach the. No, I'm kidding.
Thank you.
I'm kidding. if that was a one-way street, let me just give you that example, heading towards the top, and the person on the right stepped into where the cars are parked, the lane closest to him, the traffic would have to stop, but the other lane would not then?
That's correct. I didn't know that this great diagram has been put up here. I guess Mr. O'Leary has graced us with his artistic abilities here. If you have the pedestrian here, clearly on the
sidewalk, yeah.
When that person steps off here, they are actually in this lane.
Okay.
This is one lane for the purposes exclusively for the crosswalk statute. And so this lane would have to stop, and this lane would also have to stop on a two-way. If you had, may I
please
mention, or to say, change your diagram a little bit. We're going to make this into basically a four-lane. And make this the center lane. So now if you have two lanes going in each direction, and when the person steps off here, it would apply to these all on this one side. As soon as that person moves from here, then this one is going to need to stop. And then this one would be able to move forward as soon as they stop in here because it's a brake line, and it would be parallel across as they walked across. It would allow for the traffic to flow that's one lane away from where the person's at.
That's the way I interpret how the 2003.
So, as a follow-up, Mr. Chair, the from the line, your center line, to the sidewalk is one lane?
On a two-way street, yeah. That is correct.
Okay.
That's correct. On a four-way line, right. And of course, you could actually have another configuration that on some roads you have that fifth middle lane,
right,
for the turns in and out, and that's a separate distinct lane.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, first, preface my question with this comment, which is that I'm a strong supporter of the stop and stay stopped statute, and I carried it on the floor of the House last session. I'm just wondering whether the change we're making, and this is clear, this is accomplishing what I thought we were doing when we moved the bill out last time, but as I reflect on this further, I'm wondering if we're being even more protective than we need to be. I mean, the purpose of the statute is to try to create a zone of safety around the pedestrian so that not only when they're in an automobile's travel lane, but when they're in the adjacent lane, they're safe. And if we adopted the position and clarified the position so that apparently one court has held that and treated the rural park cars and or bicycle lane next to it as a lane of traffic, then the pedestrian would be safe from traffic in the vehicles in the nearest travel lane, but not the next one over. But I'm just wondering whether we need to stop the traffic in that next lane over in order to create the zone of safety we need.
Mr. Chair and Representative McPherson, I think that's a decision for this committee to decide. I mean, the reason I brought this forward was because there was a question as to how it was being interpreted, and I think that's a valid point for this committee. I mean, if the committee determines that what is currently in place by having the bike lane or the parking lane to be separate lanes to be counted for that purpose, and you think that gives enough safety between, that's your decision. I'm not here to advocate in the sense of saying if you don't do this, you know, there's going to cause a lot of other issues. But what we're attempting to do is give distinction so officers in the field as well as for courts would understand exactly what our intent was. I know that there was another bill that was moving through the process that would allow for vehicles to move after the person was 6 feet away from the vehicle and stuff like that. So those are all policy issues for us to consider. And this is one that I just brought forward, as you can see, at the request of the Florence Police Department, because they had some questions as to how the judge was interpreting it, as to what they thought. And so I think we can send whatever message this committee wants to, because you're going to be, at this point, either moving the bill to the floor in some version or not. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to take a position as the prosecutor for the city of Florence that each of those lanes are separate lanes and for law enforcement to be counting them as such.
Senator, the present law we've got, I'm willing to bet you that people have tried to interpret it or thought they were voting for a particular thing, meant that when they left the curb or they got on the curb, you weren't supposed to move. Right now, the way it is. Or they have to clear the entire traffic, I mean, the entire crosswalk, all lanes from sidewalk to sidewalk. I mean, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I would say that the only hesitation I have in saying yes, I agree with that, is the number of lanes of travel that you have. Because if it's a two-lane road, I agree
That's
with
true.
You. Once they step off that curb, it's not the California rule that they're waiting at the curb. It's once in Oregon, you have to step off into the crosswalk,
yeah.
And that requires the action. And if it's a two-lane road, what I think we're thinking is that meant traffic both directions had to stop until they moved all the way across and stepped back on the other side on the sidewalk. And so that's where you get the variance of when you throw a bicycle lane in there or a parking lane. Those under the code are lanes, and they were being counted as such. And then if you had the four-lane road, then I think I would differ with the chair as to needing to go from sidewalk to sidewalk because you had those multiple lanes. And the same thing with the bike lane or a parking lane.
Representative Flores, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's very much along the lines that you're just addressing. So, Senator Prozanski, what we currently have, and being interpreted for clarification, is that from sidewalk to sidewalk, if a person steps off a sidewalk, regardless of whether it's a parking lane or a bike lane, traffic is not to proceed until the pedestrian is on the other sidewalk.
Under the scenario of having two lanes of travel, one
only two lanes.
That is how this would be interpreted, or I expect it to be interpreted. Currently, there's a confusion as to whether it should or shouldn't be interpreted the way that you've just laid out.
The people behind me are usually very confused when they start laying on and making signs.
Right.
So, currently that would be the case. Under this bill, it changes.
Under this bill, that's what it would give us. Right now, I would say under current law, there's a difference of opinion as to what the obligations of the drivers are based on multiple lanes, including travel lane for a vehicle, a bike lane, and or a parking lane.
Thank you.
Any further questions? You still look perplexed.
No, I think I'm settled on what it is, what the policy choice is, and I just to reiterate kind of my perspective on it. I want the statute to work as well as it can, because I'm a strong supporter of the policy underlying it, that we should have automobiles giving deference to pedestrians. But that means not being too extreme in the way we design it, so that it makes sense to people, the traveling public out there, and they'll be more likely to honor it if they think it makes sense. And so I'd say I could go either way on what is proposed. The Dash 2 amendment would mean that in the four lane scenario, when the pedestrian steps off the curb into the row of parked cars or bicycle lane, that means two lanes of traffic flow have to stop. And that may be more protective than we need to be for it to make sense to the traveling public, because that's the question in my mind.
Mr. Chair, could I go back to the diagram?
Sure.
I guess in the sense of the way I see the current law right now, this pedestrian here, when they step off into a parking lane, the vehicles that would need to stop at this point would be the bike lane only. Once the person moves into the bike lane, this vehicle, the park lane, of course, no one could be moving there. And the first lane of travel here would also have to stop. As the person gets here, then the bike lane still stopped, this one stopped, and this one would be stopped. And it would just succinctly go across there. That's the issue. And I think that can be confusing to some people, because when you step off here, of course, you've got the bike lane. It wouldn't be until you get here.
Yeah. If I could ask a question, Mr. Chair, I think that the Senator's raised, I guess, a refinement that I think none of us had really focused on now, which is if you have both a bicycle lane and a row of parked cars, are they each separately a lane, or do they together constitute a lane? And I would say, I think together they ought to constitute a lane, because they're so relatively narrow that when somebody is in that zone that is both, you know, is combined row parked cars and bicycle lane, I think together that should be a travel lane, so that the nearest automobile lane would be required to stop.
And that's, again, one of those policy issues, but clearly in urban areas, there are distinct lanes. There are a distinct parking lane with a bike lane adjacent to it, and then the lane of travel for motor vehicles. And so that's part of the confusion, and that was, I think, one of the things that we had looked at as basically collapsing this, whatever is over on this side, into this first lane of travel. You would think this would be such an easy fix for...
Well, let me see if you got another fix. Court Street has four lanes going towards town. And then if I want to turn to go across to the west side of Salem, then there's four lanes going to the right, and only two lanes turn right.
Mm-hmm.
One goes straight, and then one can go left. So what I'm saying there is you've got a four to a four. What position is that going to put us in? When you're making a right-hand turn, do you got to wait for that person to come all the way across? Or because your lane the second lane in is going to be the far left, almost the left lane when you make the turn coming out. I go through that every day I go home.
Yeah, I'm going to limit just to this part here. These yes. are four lanes. So if this is a sidewalk here, my interpretation under the current law is once the person steps into the crosswalk here, this lane has to stop and this lane has to stop. As the person comes across here, once they get to the what would be the third lane, then this further right-hand lane would be able to
right.
move.
Correct. And I'm trying to make a right-hand turn. As this guy's leaving the right-hand corner, I got one leaving the left-hand side now. They're coming towards each other.
Right.
And that's what's happening on that street, and they're backed up clear to the other intersection trying to make a right-hand turn because they can't because everybody's waiting for everybody to clear all four lanes.
So you're talking about pedestrians and going...
You've got to go in both ways, and those who start late, so that entire lane, a crosswalk, for the entire length of the light is occupied by pedestrians and past the light time, and you never get through the intersection.
And Mr. Chair, I think that's definitely a situation that could present itself. I'm not familiar with the other bill as to that little zone of that 6 feet or whatever that was coming out, and I think that might have been something the city of Portland may have been advocating for, but I think that's what they were looking at as when you get into the core downtown areas where you have a lot of pedestrian traffic and multiple lanes for on these one lane roads, giving the drivers the ability to sooner based on just the situation you had. And that's again one of those things that we have to decide on the policy. What do we, you know, what works best for probably on, really I think on these type of things on a statewide basis. And I don't know how many exceptions you want to have, like for urban versus non-urban. I just think that that would become very confusing.
I think the people are confused now. I know I'm confused as to when I can make a right-hand turn, where they are on that crosswalk on a four-lane going one way.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go. The light's going to turn yellow, and I've been sitting there the full length of the light. And where can that person be when I turn right? I bet you could answer that question right now, a piece of paper. We get about four or five answers out of this group right now. We've been talking about it for two meetings. So it's complicated.
Yeah,
are you satisfied that this
these are different issues. And the problem you're addressing of how you make turns on signalized intersections in downtown cores is really a separate set of issues, and it's one the city of Portland had focused on, and I brought a proposal forward, and that got stymied. It was a discussion about trying to narrow the zone of safety so it was the lane plus 6 feet, and that ultimately didn't go forward. As the person who carried this bill on the floor of the House last session, I'll tell you, I thought it didn't apply at all to signalized intersections because the initial portion of the statute said that, but I became better educated about it with assistance from somebody from the city and learned that, yeah, we actually did affect what happens to people who are making turns, and I think that's a problem that I think ought to be fixed. It's not in this bill now. If we could amend it in, if we wanted to try to roll up our sleeves and get it done at this late stage in the session, but it's not in this bill. This bill addresses just a much narrower issue, which is where does the crosswalk start? Does it start at when you get to the first vehicle travel lane, or does it start before that? And it resolves it does start before that, but that area that's parked cars and or bicycle lane will be treated as part of the adjacent travel lane. I think that's maybe a little more protective of pedestrians than it needs to be. And I guess the fix that occurs to me on this narrow issue would be to say the row of parked cars and the bicycle lane together constitute a lane so that the nearest travel lane has to stop when a person is on foot in that area, but the next over travel lane would not until a person enters the adjacent travel lane.
And we surely want to get this fixed so it doesn't turn into be the school speed zone.
I'm voting no.
Again, I can see it coming. I agree. Any further comments?
Council?
Chair Krieger, Representative Flores, I was just going to point out a note was passed to me indicating that the statute that this bill 591 would amend is 811.010, which speaks to a crossing. My understanding is where there's no traffic control device in place or in operation. And the situation that I think, Chair Krieger, you were discussing would be covered under 811.040, which is a separate statute that applies, when there is a traffic control device present. Representative Broquist has the two statutes there in front of him.
Mr. Chair, I'm now completely confused after reading both of them. I'm with Representative Barker.
So, Mr. Chair?
Representative Flores.
This applies to areas where there is no traffic control device. If there is a traffic control device, then what applies? What's the law?
It's a separate statute.
Chair Krieger, Representative Flores, I believe that the law that applies is 811.040, which is failure to stop for a pedestrian proceeding under a traffic control device. And that states that a driver commits the offense of failure to stop if the driver does not stop for a pedestrian who is A, proceeding under a pedestrian control device signal, B, lawfully within the intersection or crosswalk in accordance with the traffic device signal, failure to do so is a Class B traffic violation. The statute that this bill amends is 811.010, which states that a driver commits the failure to stop and remain stopped for a pedestrian in a crosswalk if the driver does not stop for a pedestrian who is either A, crossing a roadway within a marked or unmarked crosswalk where there is no traffic control device, and is either in the lane which the vehicle is traveling or in a lane adjacent to the lane in which the vehicle is traveling. This bill sets out to clarify what is meant by the lane adjacent to the lane of travel.
So this doesn't apply to a signal device.
Thank you. Follow up then.
Right.
Yeah, the whole statute does not.
So then 040 in being areas with a traffic control device, a pedestrian has to be from sidewalk to sidewalk before you can make your right-hand turn?
That's what he said.
That, I think, Chair, is creating some of the traffic congestion and
Chair Krieger,
hand signs.
Representative Flores, that's my read of 040, and that is, I think, the situation that Representative Krieger was describing was it Court Street, did you say?
Yeah,
turn. At that turn.
Pull up for free legal counsel. Okay, in the Court Street situation, if I read this law correctly, it says proceeding under the control of a traffic control device.
Mm-hmm.
If it says walk and it is white and they're crossing it, then you have to wait from center sidewalk to sidewalk. If it turns to don't walk in orange and they're crossing in it, they're no longer proceeding under the legal control of a device. Does that there mean you can turn?
You can run over.
you can continue walking. You can't step off the curb.
Hello?
Yeah, Chair Krieger.
Turn on your windshield wipers, step on the gas.
But the side-to-side wouldn't apply because they are now violating the law and they're not proceeding under the lawful control of the device.
It gained access under lawful control.
Chair Krieger, Representative Bocas, my understanding is that once the light begins to flash, stop, you're not allowed to, as a pedestrian, you're not allowed to step off the curb and continue. As to the whether or not the driver can proceed, there's still the duty of care that applies to all drivers under the circumstances, so that I think would be an overriding issue there.
Don't hit him, in other words.
You can't
but
hit
the sidewalk him. Sidewalk is I don't have enough money to get sued and not get hit, but I'm just trying to... That's where the whole thought process is of sidewalk to sidewalk,
right,
comes from that control device, because that's what I think of.
Senator Provansky, are you...
I'm confused.
Are you more clear?
I am. This is an area that I haven't done much in the way of work as to having the two separate rules, and I think that's the interesting thing when you think about the drivers, as the chair said. If we passed out and asked us what we thought of our interpretation of just what 591 is and what it meant, I think a lot of people will probably be confused to know that there's actually two sets of rules currently for crosswalks or not. So.
I'm going to drive down that road at 6 or 7 tonight and say, I'll see, what can I do?
And that's the one thing Representative Boquist, I think, brought up a good point. It seems to me from what Council Larry has said, that if a person, let's say, steps off the sidewalk and it is walk, white signal, whatever it is, and it turns and starts flashing, they still have the right-of-way because they're proceeding in a normal course, and they don't have to stop. They're not fair game there, but clearly if someone comes off at the end after it starts flashing, don't walk. I wouldn't want to run over them to prove a point, but I think that they're definitely in violation of that control device as a pedestrian.
And Chair Krieger, it does turn on whether or not the pedestrian is lawfully within the crosswalk. The liability for a traffic violation to the driver turns on whether the pedestrian's lawfully within the crosswalk. And as we were speaking, I'm continuing to read the next statute down, is failure to stop for a pedestrian when making a turn at a stoplight, which I think speaks even more to the example that Representative Krieger indicated, and which says that if you're making a turn at a red light, you commit a traffic violation if you do not stop for a pedestrian that's lawfully within the adjacent crosswalk.
Adjacent. But it doesn't describe lanes that are adjacent to the crosswalk.
So, if I could, a question for council. So that would mean they would have to clear the entire crosswalk. Now, I have to say that in downtown Portland, the most congested place we have in the state, that if that were being observed by traffic, that would be a significant impediment to
that's the problem.
Mr. Chair, I would say I have blamed you, Representative McPherson, for this very issue.
I want this statute to work, and I would be open to broadening our effort beyond what the particular bicycle lane, parked car lane, to try to pick up some apparently some threads that had been. Were we being woven, but kind of fell apart elsewhere in the session? But I don't know if people have the appetite to do that.
Ms. Flores, did you have another question? Or?
No, but thank you, Mr. Chair. More comment, not a question. And I think that if we have the opportunity to do some remedial work on this issue, covering both components, I think we should proceed with doing it. We have the opportunity.
Good Senator, would you be willing to meet with staff and people and try to improve and clarify if we commit to you that when we get the amendments, we'll get this thing moving right away, won't die over here?
Chair Krieger, I'll be more than glad to. I just want to look at the relating clause. I think it's broad enough to do anything you'd like to do. If you can share your thoughts with counsel, I'll be glad to work with him and whoever else on the committee to take care of those other areas. Because I think it is something that when you start looking at the example you've given and what we know about Portland and any other cities that have congested areas in their downtown core, you could basically literally stop traffic and never have anyone move.
I would appreciate it. Any further comments?
Just for the chair's advice, after 25 years of driving in Salem, that's why I don't take the right-hand turn. I go down to Front Street and then I bolt across the bridge. So
there you go.
Lanes in the middle of the bridge.
But it's safer in your car to switch lanes in the middle of the bridge than it is hit a pedestrian there in that corner.
Let's do that then. We'll have you folks get together and see if you can address some of these issues and get an amendment. Maybe do a little better fix on the whole issue.
That'd be great.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Okay, we're set for 10 a.m. tomorrow. don't think there'll be major changes, but we're going to have at least three or four bills to work on. So we're adjourned.